The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
And I said, yeah, the title is G.I. Joe. And I just put in the parentheses, trust me, it fits. So here's all the social media stuff for today. At Jerry Godsey, at Remnant Church, hashtag light up, hashtag G.I. Joe. Now, again, you're thinking, all right, Godsey, you've said some stupid things before, but this may be among. Well, let's watch this.
Stay close, Tony, so you don't get lost.
Hey, look at that. I can do that. Hey, Mike! Where are you? Mike!
Hey, get take it easy.
But I lost my brother and...
Stay calm. Think. Where did you see him last? Go back there. If he doesn't come back, ask a policeman for help.
Hey, it's Alpine and my scared brother.
It's not scary being lost if you don't lose your head. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
See? Knowing is half the battle. And believe it or not, that's really where we're going to go today, because in 1 John, there are some things that God wants you to know. And it's really easy for us to forget them. It's really easy for us to get caught up in all the other stuff. And God says, no, I want you to know some things. So let's look at 1 John chapter 5. It's 1 through 20. It's a bit of a verse stretch, but we'll get through it. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. Now, first off, everyone who believes. Everyone. Okay? So if I were to ask this morning, I'm not gonna, but if I were to ask this morning if you have asked Christ to become part of your life, if you have believed that Jesus is the Son of God, that He's the Christ, the Savior, you're a son of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. You've heard that more than once through this series. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You ever hear somebody say that it's a drag to be a Christian? There's all those lists of rules and do's and don'ts. Really? Because I don't see a lot of them. There are things that God says not to do. There are things that God says not to do, but they're common sense. Oh, things like, I don't know, do not murder. That's a good rule. To me, that's a good rule. Don't lie. Great rule. Can we argue with that? Well, you know, there are times when you have to lie. Like when your wife says, honey, does this dress make me look fat? Yeah, exactly. You've got to find artful ways around it. No, honey, it's not the dress, it's your hips. No, you can't. No, no, don't do that. Because some of you will go home and do it this week and they'll say, Jerry said, no, no, no. You have to find other ways. And I told my wife when we got married, look, if you don't want to know the honest answer, don't ask me a question. Because I'm not going to lie to you. What I've told her a couple times is, well, you look better in other dresses than that one. And that's a little better. It's still not going to keep you from, you know, getting smacked or projectiles aimed at your head, but it does help a little bit. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water, and by shedding his blood on the cross, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses. the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. If you're here this morning and you want to say that Jesus wasn't really God's Son, you're calling God a liar. Because the testimony of the Bible, the testimony of God himself when Jesus was baptized says, this is my Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. Look at that. I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know, and knowing is half the battle, you may know you have eternal life. And we're confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. You see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. All wicked actions are sin, but not every sin leads to death. I will tell you that if you ask me at the end of service what that passage means, I will tell you, I don't know. Theologians have argued about it for years, and I'm not getting in the middle of it. I just know it's there. It means something. I don't know what it means for sure. I mean, I could make up something. I could tell you, well, it means this, but this is one of those places when I get to heaven. I got a few things when I get to heaven, I'm asked God, hey, God, what's the deal with that? Cockroaches. Why, God? Why? Those flies that, like, bite and stuff. Why? What, do we really need those, God? Was that, like, necessary? Snakes. No. No. We have to take our dogs to rattlesnake training. I didn't know there was such a thing. But because we live up there where there's a lot of rattlesnakes, we have to take them to rattlesnake training because Ghost, my boxer, is dumb enough to go up and what are you doing here? That's just, you know, bless his heart. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed. I was telling somebody this morning, that dog makes me laugh and makes me mad every day. I was going to make a joke there about husbands and wives, but I decided to leave that alone. Just leave that, though. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God, and that the world around us is under control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God, because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God. And he is eternal life. The word know, K-N-O-W, appears in 1 John about 40 times. That you would know. This whole book is about certainty and assurance. If you're not sure if you're a Christian, read the book of 1 John. It'll tell you, hey, here's the litmus test. Do you love God? Well, yes, I do. All right. Do you love other people? Well, not so much. Okay, then you're out of trouble. Because if you say you love God, you have to love other people. And how do you show that you love God? By loving other people. Again, one of the verses that I really wish wasn't in the Bible. Because quite frankly, there are people I don't want to love. None of you guys. No, none of you guys. I did check, make sure. No. None of you guys. But let's be honest. There are people that, we just as soon not be nice to. They're kind of mean or nasty or they just rub you the wrong way. You ever get around somebody that rubs you the wrong way? Did you marry him? No, I'm just kidding. See, we can have a sense of certainty. We can know that God loves us. And this is not a smug type of knowing. This is not like, well, I know something you don't know. Quite the opposite. This is something that we know that we want to tell everybody about. It's not our pride because we didn't do anything to get it. Understand, it's God's love that lets us know. And even though the word know appears 40 times, the word love appears quite a bit more. Quite a bit more. Look at chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God. See, and here's what they're saying, is that loving and knowing are side by side. Loving and knowing are side by side. God doesn't want you to live your life in insecurity, constantly second-guessing who you are, why you're here, what your purpose is, where you stand with Him, on and on and on. He doesn't want you to live that way. He wants you to know. He wants you to know these things because He wants you to know Him. He wants you to have the assurance that comes from relationship with Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because I have a relationship with Christ that fills me with certainty. I know that I know that I know. Verse 12 of chapter 5, John says, whoever has the Son has life. See, that's the crucial connection in all of this, and that's Jesus Christ. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, how do you build up a relationship? Say, well, I've never seen Him. Okay. How do you build up a relationship? By spending time together, reading your Bible, praying. And not those, and I say it all the time, not those chicken McNugget prayers that were so good. You know, chicken McNuggets? They're made of chicken, supposedly. But a chicken doesn't look in the box of chicken McNuggets and say, oh, it's Uncle Henry. I mean, he's not going to recognize one of his relatives in that box. Doesn't look anything like a chicken. And so we pray sometimes prayers that don't really resemble prayer. Lord, bless me, bless everybody, amen. Now, that might be your sincere prayer, but you could probably do better than that. How about praying from your heart? And you know what? It's okay to talk to God. We get this idea, you know, my most omnipotent Father, yea, that Thou wouldst come, and Lord, that I might be ushered into Thine presence. Hallelujah. Who said that was prayer? That's not prayer. That's trying to sound cool and missing horribly. I mean, that's not even close to cool. And what, are you trying to impress God with how verbose you are? Look at me, God. I can speak King James. How about going to God and just talking? Hey, God, I love you, but you know what? Right now, I'm having a tough time. I've been praying a lot this week. Think about my uncle. Closest thing to a father figure I have. I stand here this morning because of the effect that man's had on my life. And now I'm faced with some really tough choices for him. And I've been praying this all this week. God, do something miraculous. Or take him home. And I got to admit, I've told the Lord more than once, I was pretty ticked off. That something like this would happen just out of the blue to him. He said, wait, you told God you were mad? Yeah. You think he didn't know? See, we get so caught up in all of the pomp and the circumstance that we think we have to have for prayer that it makes our prayer life stilted. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is the crucial connection, and it's got to be real. Get rid of all the pomp and circumstance in your relationship with Christ. Talk to him like you would talk to your friend. Talk to him like you would talk to your dad. See, And our relationship with Jesus isn't founded, it's not founded on our love for him. It's founded on his love for us. He loved us first. He loved us deeply. He loved us sacrificially. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he loved us first. And trust me, if God could love Jerry Godsey, I can love you. Because, I mean, he knows me warts and all. He knows everything about me, and he still loves me. If you knew everything about me, you think you'd love me? Probably not. You'd probably run away screaming, get away, you moron. And if I knew everything about you, I might not love you. The object of our relationship with God is that we grow in love. The object is that you love him and that you love others the way he loves others. The more you love, the more you know him. So I want to give you three things, some things that God wants you to know. Because here's the thing, if you're constantly worried about whether or not he loves you, if you're constantly worried about your relationship with him, it doesn't grow. The night before our wedding, I was up all night because I was not sure Lynette was going to show up the next day. And if she had been smart, she probably wouldn't have. Although it was kind of a catch. Not at all. She even had a nicer car than I did. She had a 69 Chevy Nova. Jacked up in the back, V8, black with gold SS stripes. Sweet ride. I had a 74 Pinto. It is love. I told you that our first date, my grandpa paid for it, and I had coupons for Sizzler. That's how you know she's a keeper. She'll go to Sizzler with you and have coupons. Yeah, I was a poor college student, man. But if I spent all that time just worrying that she, you know, what, does she really love me or she just, I would never have followed through with it. But I knew. I knew she'd show up. She put too much work into the wedding not to show up. Here's some things that God wants you to know. First of all, you're secure in him. And if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear this. You are secure in Christ. Nobody can take you from him. Nobody. Somehow we miss that. 1 John 5:13 says, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. Not so you can hope. Not so you can think, well, I might have. No, that you know that you have it. Here's the thing. If you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and you've accepted him as your Savior, you have eternal life. Can you walk away from that? I think eventually you could. You choose to just not follow God. You choose to live a sinful life and you're never going to follow God ever again. Maybe you get to the place where the Holy Spirit just quits dealing with you. Romans calls it turning you over to a reprobate mind. But if you go to hell, it's going to be because you've jumped every single hurdle God put in your way. This service this morning is a hurdle. If you can walk out of here today and not accept Jesus Christ, it's because you're not listening and you don't care. It's not because you haven't heard. It's not because somebody hasn't loved you enough to tell you. You're here. You're hearing it. Your choice. Well, that's kind of harsh, Jerry. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes the truth is harsh. But I wouldn't tell you that if I didn't love you. And I couldn't tell you I love you if I didn't tell you that. Just before this verse, in verse 12, John says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. So where does our security lie? How are we secure in him? Because of Jesus Christ. Our connection with Jesus Christ. Look, there's nothing in this world that's secure. This last presidential election should have told you that. Because all the pundits and everybody said, oh, it's going to be a landslide. It wasn't. Not the way they thought. In my years of ministry, I've seen people who literally had the rug pulled out from underneath them. Guy in one of my churches thought his marriage was rock solid. He came home early from a business trip and found a car in front of his house that shouldn't have been there. Another person watched his life savings decrease by 60% because of some changes in the stock. Young lady who lived across the street from us in Romoland in a car accident. Became a quadriplegic. Another friend's church went through a church split. People who loved each other and cared for each other one week became the Hatfields and the McCoys the next. And it's easy for us to say, well, that happens to them, it doesn't happen to us. Really? You never had the rug pulled off from underneath you? If you haven't, it's just because it hasn't happened yet. If you think that your certainty is in this world, if you think your security is in this world, you think it's in stocks and bonds and all of this stuff, you are sadly mistaken. Because we are fallible people. If we took a roll call this morning and we went down the aisles, every one of you could probably come up with somewhere where you thought something was going to work out and it didn't. I wrote in my column a couple of weeks ago that I thought there were, over the last year, I thought there were two sure things that were going to work out and I was going to start a new business and do all this. I mean, I was told it was a sure thing, and then all of a sudden, just the rug was pulled out from underneath me, and I started asking God, God, what is the deal? This was a sure thing. What's going on? And it wasn't until I took my new position that I realized if I had gotten those, I wouldn't have the position I have now, which is perfect and one that I love dearly. God wants you to know that you're secure in Him. Not just think it, He wants you to know, because He's proven it over and over and over again. There's only one thing in life that's certain, and that's that God loves you. And that's all you need. Rita Springer, the worship leader, said, I didn't realize that God was all I needed till I came to the place where that was all I had. I didn't realize that God was all I needed till I came to the place that He was all I had. Jim Carrey once said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that that's not the answer. Nothing on this earth is going to satisfy you like Jesus. Nothing. And you'll try everything to fill it up. You'll try everything to make it something work, and it's just not going to, because nothing works for us like Jesus, like a relationship with Jesus. 1 John 5:13 says, I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. Don't wait until your world falls apart to experience this. Get ahead of the curve. You ever surf? You don't make waves happen. You get out ahead of them. Because if you wait till the wave starts and then start paddling, trying to get on it, you're toast. You've got to let that wave start, and then you've got to get out ahead of it. Because otherwise, you'll get lost. You've got to be ahead of all the stuff that's out there. And the way to do that is a relationship with Christ. Does that mean nothing bad's ever going to happen to you? No. Absolutely not. Sorry. You know, some of those preachers on TV will tell you, well, if you come to Jesus, your life will be perfect and nothing will happen to you. Hallelujah. And they're lying, or they're stupid, one of the two. I go more towards stupid than lying, but know Christians who torment themselves all the time. But okay, but did I really believe it when I said it? Did I really mean it? Was I really, really, really sincere? Like the third really is the one that will say whether or not you were. Did you accept Christ? Did you tell him, I want to follow you? Then you have that assurance. See how easy that is? We make it so hard. Well, I said the prayer, but I didn't say it just like the preacher said it. Oh, who cares? You know, I said it, but I wasn't on my knees, and I was, you know, I had like one eye open. It says that we're to believe, not that we're to adopt the proper posture when we believe. Did you believe? John says that you know you have eternal life because of all the things he has written about. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Your sins are forgiven. You're his child. He's your father. It's in the love your father has for you that you find your security. God wants you to know that you're secure in him. You are secure in him. Walk out of here today knowing that if you've accepted Christ, you are secure in him. Are you going to sin? Yes. Go to God and ask him to forgive you. But it's not like he's going to say, all right, you sinned, that's it, out of the pool. It doesn't work that way. God loves you too much. He's got too much invested in you. Second thing you need to know is that he hears your prayers. It's a big one for some of you right now. 1 John 5:14-15, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. Since we know he hears us when we make a request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Now, I remember hearing somebody say one time that this is God's loophole. Okay, because look at it. It says that we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. So if we ask for something that doesn't please God, God says, okay, I don't have to do it. I don't like it. You don't have to do it. And so, well, that's God's way of getting around it. Hey, you know, you asked for Ferrari, you don't get it. Sucks to be you. Too bad for you. I always wanted a Corvette. Do you know what I would do with a Corvette? I would wrap it around a pole. First of all, I don't think I could fit in one. But golly, I would butter my sides to get me in. I would try everything. Give me a shoehorn, whatever. Take the seats out, I don't care, I'll drive it. I got a speeding ticket in a Hyundai. Not the big Hyundai, the little one. I got a speeding ticket in one. Now, you got to really try to get a speeding ticket in a Hyundai. It was the XL, and trust me, that car did not excel at anything. Whoever made that name, they were grasping at straws. They might as well called it the Stupendous. Ooh, because it would have fit just as well as XL, because it didn't. God, in his wisdom, saw fit not to give me a Corvette. So, you asked for something God didn't want. Too bad for you? No. Too good for you, actually. Understand, God is all-knowing. He sees everything and he understands everything. When we ask for things, we ask with a limited understanding. God sees everything. And he knows what's good for us. And he also knows that if he gave you everything you asked for the minute you asked for it, you'd be what? Spoiled brat. You ever see kids whose parents give them everything? Don't you want to lay hands on them and not pray? Want to give them the right hand of fellowship across their backside? This kid lost it one day in Target. He was in the toy aisle, and he's screaming at his mother, I hate you, you're stupid. He's just going on and on and on. she wouldn't buy him this little car. So I did what any grown-up would do. I walked in front of him and I took the car he wanted and I put it in my basket. And I smiled at him. Badger. Where did this little brat come to think that everything he gets, he wants? If his mom doesn't give it for him, he's going to scream and call her stupid. He's like 6 years old. I wouldn't live to see seven if I told my mom she was stupid when I was six. I'm 57, I still won't tell her that. Because I'm still smart enough to be scared of her. She's kind of frail now. I think I could take her. But she doesn't fight fair, so who knows? When God answers you, he answers with your best interests in mind, not his. Your best interests. Why? Because he loves you. Can you imagine a three-year-old walking around with a switchblade? Why does your three-year-old have a switchblade? Well, he really wanted it. And we want him to have what he wants. We love him. No. What, he wants to play with the toaster while he's in the tub too, so you let him? No. You look at him and say, look, Sparky, I know you think you know, but you don't know. And so I'm not going to let you do that. Well, you're stupid. You'll find out. One of these days, not so much. You ever watch your kid do something and tell him, I wouldn't do that, that's going to hurt. And he decides to do it anyway. So you tell your wife, okay, get the Band-Aids because this is not going to end well. I was watching one of those, I'm trying to think of a nice way to put it, because I was going to say idiot preachers, but that's not really nice to say. I was watching one of those idiot preachers, and he's talking about how God will give you the desires of your heart. They all seem to talk that way. I don't know what that is. They all seem to talk that way. At least maybe that's just the way I hear it. And he says that God's going to give you, the God of the universe will give you whatever you ask for in your relationships, in your finances, your career, your emotional well-being. If you ask for it, God has to give it to you. I remember looking at him and thinking, oh, dear Lord, I'm glad that's not true. I can remember some of the girls that in high school that I really thought I wanted to marry. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for not... Was there an old Garth Brooks song about thank God for unanswered prayer? Yeah. Think about all the things that I wanted to do and God said, nah, that's probably not a good idea. And I didn't do them and I thought, oh, it's a good thing. See, the problem with the way this preacher thinks about God is that he thinks that the universe or that God doesn't have any common sense. And he doesn't have our best interests at heart. And that he's just like some bellhop in heaven. You know, you ring the bell. I'd like a hot fudge sundae, please. And throw some pieces of salami on it just for, you know, just to see. And God says, okay. Is that love? Did anybody here eat salami on a hot fudge sundae? No. Why? Because it's gross. I would imagine. I've never tried it. And don't plan to. If I had to choose between a God who gave me everything I wanted without any thought of whether or not it would hurt me, I'd rather have the God that John talks about who says, if it's God's will, you'll get it. Why? Because I need protection from Jerry Godsey. Trust me. Trust me, the only thing that's kept me alive, I'm sure, is the fact that God loves me enough to protect me from myself. Our prayers are protected by an all-knowing, all-loving God. The problem sometimes is that we ask too small. If you ask your kid, where do you want to go to lunch? What do you want to have for lunch? Oh, I'll have peanut butter and jelly. Okay, but wouldn't you be happier getting a meal somewhere else? Get it? Happier meal, happy meal. and every now and then they're just too dense to get it. You're offering to take them wherever they want. Now, my grandson, Soren, he's got this down to a science. He knows. When Grandpa says, what do you want? It's going to be somewhere that he wants to go. Preferably somewhere with a playground. Could be Kyle's Jr., McDonald's, or Burger King, because they, as long as they have playgrounds. So if I ask Soren, would you, you know, what do you want? Soren's going to say, Kyle's Jr., because they have the best of the playgrounds. Can you imagine if Soren just said, well, I'll take some toast. Really? Toast? Who are you and what have you done with my grandson? And look, as you grow up, it doesn't get any easier. Well, maybe I should ask God for a widescreen TV, or maybe I should ask God for an SUV. And God's like, TV? SUV? Why don't you ask for something big? The problem isn't that God is stingy, it's that we ask too small. And I don't mean asking for material stuff. Well, I'd like God to give me a Rolls Royce. He couldn't pay the insurance on a Rolls Royce. What about asking God for happiness? What about asking God to help you be fulfilled at your work? What about asking God to give you guidance and direction for every single day? See, a TV, that's nothing compared to what God can do. James 4:2 says, you don't have because you don't ask God. God wants you to know that he listens to your prayers and responds to your prayers. If you ask for the wrong thing, he'll say no. Why? Because God is a loving father. He won't give you something that isn't ultimately good for you. Maybe we should ask God for the big things, like being filled with indescribable joy, uncontainable happiness, or the chance to make a difference in somebody's life, to help them go from death to life, from darkness to life, to change history for the better. See, that's what's possible. TV and SUV, that's chump change. God is waiting to answer your prayers. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to ask. He'll only give you what is good for you. I know, praying for my uncle, I know exactly what I want for Uncle Bill. I would want Uncle Bill to wake up one morning, totally restored, to have no impairment whatsoever, and everything in his life would be great. That's what I'm trusting God for. I also know that that may not be what God is going to do in my uncle, because that may not be best for Uncle Bill. And it's hard. It's hard to square God's desires and my desires sometimes. And I don't know what God's going to do. But here's what I know. When it's all over with, I'm going to love him, because he loves me. I'm going to trust him, because he hasn't let me down. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. God's ready to listen to your prayers. He's ready to respond. He's waiting on you. Third thing you need to know, you can be good. You can be good. 1 John 5:18, we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. John began this whole book by saying if we confess our sins, God will forgive us. But if we say we don't have any sin, we're lying. Okay? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you haven't sinned this week, because you raise your hand and we will immediately attack you and call you a liar. Because some of us have watched it happen. In chapter 3, John tells us that God's seed has been planted in us, that we've been born of God, and then his life will continue to grow in you. And it does. It grows in you and it starts to grow out of you. And it expands beyond your capabilities. And you begin to do things that only God can do through you. My goal in life has always been to do something so great for God that everybody says, well, Jerry couldn't have done that because he's not that smart. Which really is just about anything I do for God fits that category. No, Jerry couldn't have done that. He's not that smart. When we accept Christ, his life is at work in us. And that means that we will win the war against sin. We'll win the war against sin. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell them, you will win the war against sin. Now, here's the problem. This is where we have messed up. We're going to win the war, but we're going to lose some battles. Remember, a war is made up of a bunch of little battles. So you're going to get a chance to tell the truth, and you're going to say that lie, and you think, I'm never going to win the war. You just lost a battle. God still loves you. God still cares for you. Confess that sin. Do your best not to have it happen again, but move on. I want you to understand this, that every time you sin, God doesn't write you off. That's the way we do sometimes. We write people off. Well, he's just a moron. He's never going to get it, so I'm not going to talk to him anymore. That's not the way God works. Some battles may rage for weeks or months or even years. It may take a while to get victory in a certain place in your life. It wasn't hard for me to give up some of the habits that I had when I really finally decided to come to Christ. You know what the hardest thing for me to give up doing was? Cussing. It just came out of me. And I'd love to tell you I never say bad words. But that's not true. I still fight that sometimes. Yes, your pastor has occasionally said bad words. I could never listen to Pastor Jerry ever again. He cusses. Every now and then. I'm not proud of it. It's just another thing I'm working through with God. Look, you're going to have some battles that are going to take you a while to win. Keep fighting. Because here's the thing for sure, if you give up, you won't win. Anybody have trouble with their anger? I'm a lot better now than I was, but man. I've hurt some people and hurt myself quite a few times because I got angry and didn't keep myself under control. And every now and then I still struggle with it. But it's better than it was. And if you're struggling with a sin, if you're fighting a battle, I want you to understand that if you're better today than you were yesterday, you're winning. You may not have complete victory yet, but you're winning. 1 John 5:19 and 20, we know that the Son of God has come, and he's given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only true God, and he is eternal life. God's purpose for you is that you'll become like Jesus Christ. And you can. Through his power and through his presence in your life. You're not going to do it on your own. We like you to snap your fingers and, oh, I'm perfect today. No, you're not. Not even close, Sparky. 1 John was written so that we could know. What do we know? Well, know that we have forgiveness. I want you to hear me. I want you to listen very carefully to me right now. If you're here this morning and you have struggled with that idea, oh, but Jerry, you don't know what I've done. You know what? It doesn't matter. God knows what you've done. And God says, if you come to me, I will forgive you. And you can know that. Not hope, not think, not grasp at straws. You can know that you have forgiveness. You can know who you are in Christ. You can know that you're secure in God's love. I talked to my son this morning. He's having a rough time. And I told him, Isaac, I love you more than you ever thought possible. Even though you can be a raging pain in the backside sometimes. But I love you so much. You need to know. Yeah, you're going to fall down, skin your knees, and you're going to make mistakes. And God's going to look at you and say, hey, get up. Let's try again. Again, I know I've got only a few stories, and I keep telling them all the time, but I don't care. They're the only ones I know. When Isaac was learning, he was our first kid. And we made a lot of mistakes on Isaac because, well, he's your first one. They're like learner's permits, your first kid. You hopefully get it better in your second and third, you know. So we wanted Isaac to walk really bad. So we would sit on the floor with Isaac between us, and we would kind of push him toward each other, you know. And he would, you know, all babies have that Frankenstein walk they do, you know. Rip and tear. And we would push him. And then whenever he would fall, we would pick him up and spank him and tell him how stupid he was. Because that's how you teach a kid to walk, right? No, we didn't do it. And some of you are like, I don't like this man. No, we'd pick him up. We'd dust off his diaper and say, hey, dude, you almost made it. Let's try again. Because understand, the process of walking, the physiological process of walking, is putting your foot forward and falling until your foot catches you. That's why every now and then you get your foot caught in the carpet or something, or some imaginary thing that you thought you got stuck on, and you fall head over heels because that foot wasn't there to catch you. God understands that sometimes the process of learning to walk in Him, learning to be a Christian, is falling. And every now and then, getting a face full of pavement. But when you fall, He doesn't pick you up and yell at you and tell you how stupid you are. You're no son of mine. You don't know how to walk. You're a moron. Picture God, that perfect Father that all of us wanted, none of us had. The Father heart of God that picks us up and says, buddy, you almost made it. You were so close. That was great. Let's try again. Let's try one more time. And if you're here this morning and you feel like you're just constantly stumbling, God wants to pick you up, dust off your britches and say, come on, let's try this again. Don't give up. Keep going. Know that you belong to Him. You belong to Him. I almost played the clip this morning from Toy Story when Buzz Lightyear has finally figured out that he's actually a toy and he's all depressed. He's not really a space ranger, he's a toy. And Woody tells him, look in the bottom of your shoe. And he looks at the bottom of his shoe and there's Andy's name, the kid who owns him. And he says, you're not just a toy. You're Andy's toy. You know what? You're not just a person. You're God's. You belong to Him. And He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. You belong to Him. Know that He considers you His child. Know that He loves you for all eternity. Win or lose, ups or downs, God loves you. Know that He hears your prayers and know that you will win the war against sin. See, because once God's life is in you, you can't keep sinning. Once God gets hold of you, your life gets better. This whole series has been about this moment right here. where you decide once and for all that you belong to God. That you're going to believe what he says when he says, you're mine and no one can take you from me. I love you guys so much. And imagine what your life could be. Imagine what Remnant could be if every one of us this morning just grabbed onto this one simple fact that God loves us unconditionally and that he wants our lives to be better. Wow. Some of you are going to walk out of here this morning with freedom from doubting. Freedom from that constant recrimination that you put yourself through. Why? Because God loves you. Please, bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to ask you very, very simply. Where are you this morning? Some of you are here this morning and this whole idea of accepting Christ is new. Or you've been around it for a while and you've held out because you were kind of afraid of what was going to happen if you did. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen if you follow Christ. You put yourself on the track to heaven. That sounds really rough, doesn't it? If you come to know Christ, man, he's going to make you a better man, a better woman, a better dad, a better mom, a better kid. You come to know Christ this morning, he's going to make all your relationships better than they were. Some of them may still be rough, but they're going to be better than they were because you're better than you were. Why on earth would you hold back this morning? Well, I got a habit I don't want to give up. You know what? Let God worry about that. But Jerry, you don't know me. Yeah, I do, because you're just like me. We're all sinners saved by grace. And if that's you this morning, it is so simple. God, I accept you. Forgive me of my sins. God, I want to feel like your child this morning. See, it doesn't have to be hard. It just has to be honest. Maybe you're here this morning and you came to know Christ, but you've been struggling. And you feel like it's up and down and it's hurt your relationships and all these things that are going on around you. And you know what? This morning, God wants you to know he's here for you. He loves you. Quit beating yourself up. Let the Holy Spirit convict you of sin. Confess it and move on and try not to do it again. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. You're going to win a few battles. You're going to lose a few battles, but you're going to win more. And eventually, with God's help, you will win the war.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress.